Reading from Matthew 4, verses 12 through 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled.
Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
As he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and they followed him.
Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people.
So I thought we'd start off with a question this morning. You don't have to answer me back. It's okay. My sermon got too long, so you don't have to answer me back today. You just have to think about it in your head. What is the boldest thing you have done in your life? Something that took courage, that was daring, maybe kind of risky. Some of you might be looking at your spouses right now. That was a pretty risky move. That's what Charles told me. That was probably the riskiest thing I did. The boldest thing was marry him. So for me, there's one moment that stands out in particular, and it's from over 20 years ago. And it stands out because it was a first step, a very bold step for me, something I had never even come close to doing before. And it made the steps that I would take later in life a little bit less scary. So I was 15 years old at the time, and I was all fired up about my faith. It was in the 90s, so I was very much influenced by the Christian contemporary music, which when we got to Open My Heart, Lord, I was having flashbacks to my 15-year-old self. And the big youth revival events were like sweeping the nation back then. And my youth group kind of went to all of them. And when I think back about that time in my life, there's a part of me that, you know, wants to shake my head at little young Stephanie, and how little I knew yet, how little I asked about God, and faith, how little I had experienced and such. But as much as I might like to shake my head, those were still really important moments and experiences in my larger faith narrative, in bringing me to where I am today. So back to my 15-year-old self, attending those youth revivals. And at these events, they would talk about teens coming together from all across the country and going on international mission trips. And me, suddenly swept up in this passion-infused, charismatic version of Christianity that did not exist in my little hometown, felt very drawn to go and to share my faith in a new way and to see the world. So I signed up, and I was headed for a few weeks that summer at 15 to Trinidad. Now, if you have forgotten your world geography, some of you probably have, let's be honest. Trinidad and Tobago are those tiny little islands that are off the coast of Venezuela. They're just south of Puerto Rico. And so I went there that summer. I think my parents were a bit terrified. Let's be honest, they were like completely terrified. For starters, I had never been out of the country. I had to get a passport. And rather than traveling them, I was going with a bunch of random strangers that I would meet 3 days before. That's where you want to send your 15-year-old child, right? I was 15. I couldn't even drive yet. I didn't even have a permit yet. And I was pretty terrified myself, to be honest. It's amazing how we can be both excited and terrified at the same time. I have lived in that small little town since I was 3 years old. I could walk from one end of town to the other, because it's that small, and never encounter someone I didn't know. My life so far had been pretty encased. But I felt this pull to go. Now, I could go down a really long rabbit hole about the time that I spent there, but that wouldn't do much for our purposes this morning. The point of the story is that I took the step, a very bold step for me, something no one else in my family had done, something no one else in my church had done, and as far as I know, something that no one else in my town had done at that age. There have been many moments in my life when I would say that I was daring or I was bold or took a risk. I might say that about coming to Crossroads. But when I think back, the boldest thing I think I ever did was get on that plane at 15 years old and go out of the country. It took me far beyond what was familiar and comfortable and into the unknown. It required me to rely on God in a way that I couldn't fathom before. And ever since then, each bold step has seemed somehow less intimidating. Sure, things are still daring at times. They're risky. They're even scary. But that trip taught me a lot about the strength of our faith to hold us up as we take those bold steps. And it taught me that I was never alone. The disciples took bold steps of faith that day when Jesus stood on the shore and called them to join him on the road. It wasn't like they really knew much about him yet, let alone what they were signing up for. This story of the calling of the disciples comes just after Jesus has been baptized and gone and spent 40 days in the wilderness to be tempted. And he emerges from the wilderness to learn that his cousin John, who's been out telling everyone that the Messiah is coming, has now been arrested. This is where Jesus begins his ministry publicly. And he's walking around and he's preaching to folks, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." For the fishermen, there probably wasn't a whole lot to know about Jesus, except for the few bits that were floating around in the grapevine. And yet, when Jesus calls them to join him, they go. They just go. Simon, who we know as Peter, is standing on the shore with his brother Andrew. They're casting nets into the water, and Jesus just says, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And off they go, leaving their nets behind. James and John are a bit farther out. They're sitting in a boat on the water with their father Zebedee, and Jesus just calls to them. And they drop what they're doing. They leave their father behind and they join Jesus. It's amazing the boldness of these disciples. Many whom Jesus met over the years believed that he was the Messiah, but only some took the bolder step and chose a path of discipleship. They chose to be students of Jesus, letting their belief give way to a desire to be transformed more into his likeness, to live as his hands and his feet in this world. Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near," and they followed. A slightly better reading of the Greek is that Jesus said, "Be of a new mind," or "change your way of thinking, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Jesus was inviting them to a new perspective on God and creation, of a new way of seeing and engaging the world, a new mind that mirrored his own. And some took that bold step and said yes. in Blue Like Jazz, as author David Miller, or Donald Miller, shares his experience as a young adult of his conservative theology being challenged by his experiences. He writes, "The trouble with deep belief is that it costs something. And there is something inside me, some selfish beast of a subtle thing, that doesn't like the truth at all, because it carries responsibility. And if I actually believe these things, I have to do something about them. It is so, so cumbersome to believe anything, and it isn't cool." I think Miller was discovering that deep belief often calls us to more, to discipleship. It calls us out of the boat, off the shore, and sometimes boldly out onto an unknown road with Jesus. I think he understood that holding beliefs about God and believing in God are not always the same thing. And sometimes believing, deeply believing in God and God's love, calls us up off the couch or out of the pew onto a more intentional pathway of discipleship. It may not be cool, as he says, but it sure is bold. "Be of a new mind, for the kingdom of heaven is near." When Jesus used those words, he wasn't referring to our future salvation or a kingdom far, far away in the heavenly realm. The gospel writer Matthew understood what Jesus meant when he spoke of the kingdom being near. He meant that it was here now. It was about right now in that moment, in this moment, as we create the kingdom together. Or as we were taught to say, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Those fishermen they weren't just being invited to traipse along behind Jesus and take notes about every action or teaching he gave. They were being invited to a discipleship of kingdom making, right there in the present, to be co-creators with Jesus. We're going to talk more about that over the next 3 weeks, but you're going to hear me say kingdom instead of kingdom going forward. Now, I know some of you have heard me say this, but I'll say it again. If you're newer to Crossroads or this line of thought, or maybe you missed that Sunday when I explained it, but it is not a typo. In fact, I have typed kingdom, K-I-N-D-O-M, into my computer so many times over the years that the autocorrect feature no longer tries to fix it. It actually tries to fix kingdom now and make it kingdom. You'll hear me use that because I believe that Jesus was inviting us to be part and helping create sanctuary and community based on love and acceptance for all people. And the word kingdom with a G suggests a world built on a hierarchical structure where some have and some don't. Whereas kingdom offers a community created from the kinship relationships formed there. And so for the next few weeks, we'll explore some of Jesus's earliest teachings to help us in our endeavor to be kingdom co-creators like those early disciples. There's one thing more, though, to be said about the disciples and their bold step to hit the road with Jesus. Yes, what they did was bold. We might wonder if we would have done the same thing, if we would have been as daring as they were to leave our boats and our nets and follow him. But here's the other thing about them. Jesus still called them to fish. Now, I'm not bringing that up so we can head down the road of the evangelical baggage that many of us still carry. We can chat about that over coffee if you want. What I mean is that Jesus called them to use their experience, their knowledge, their gifts, the tools of their trade out on the road with them as they ministered to people. Now, I'm not a fisherman. Is fisherwoman even a word? I don't fish. You won't find me fishing in Colorado this summer when we go. The closest I come to fishing is reading the twins the book Curious George Goes Fishing. And what I can tell you from reading that book is that I'm probably about as bad at fishing as that monkey is. For one thing, he tries to feed them cake on a string, which doesn't work, but you know I will always bring cake. And then he figures he'll just reach in and grab one with his hands, and instead he falls in the water. And after that debacle, he gives up, and he takes up kite flying instead. So you won't likely find me or Curious George out fishing at the lake. But I do know that to be a fisherman, those earliest disciples knew the water. And they knew the fish. There was a knowledge to their craft. It's how they succeeded in catching fish. Perhaps their ability to listen to and to read the water and the fish better equipped them as they learned from Jesus how to listen to and tend to the people they encountered on the road. They weren't just becoming something entirely new and different from who they were before. They brought their experiences and their gifts and their styles with them as they journeyed with Jesus, as they became co-creators of the kingdom. In writing of Jesus' call to the first disciples and to us as well, Debbie Thomas writes, "We're not supposed to heed his call in general, as if Christianity comes in a number of prepackaged cookie-cutter shapes we have to pummel ourselves into. If we're going to follow him at all, we'll have to do it in the unique particulars of our lives, communities, cultures, families, and vocations we find ourselves in. We'll have to trust that God prizes our intellects, our memories, our backgrounds, our educations, our skills, and that God will multiply, shape, and bring to fruition everything we offer up to God in faith from the daily stuff of our lives. I will make you, he tells the fishermen. I will take, cultivate, deepen, magnify, purify, protect, and perfect the people of God, the people God created you to be. Or if you need something a little more simple, as Audrey West puts it, Jesus calls people as they are, from where they are, being who they are. So yes, Jesus calls us to step out boldly and to join him on the road. He invites us to live with deep faith that compels us forward, to be his disciples, to become co-creators of a kingdom of love and peace on this earth right now. But Jesus doesn't ask us to conform or to become someone so far removed from the person who we are at our core. Like the fishermen Jesus invited to come fish for people, Jesus invites us from our particular circumstances to bring our experiences and our perspectives and our gifts, all that we are, into our kingdom work. Perhaps that is what is boldest of all. Perhaps that is what is boldest of all. Not that we step out in faith into the unknown, but that God invites us just as we are, from where we are, being who we are, into the work of kingdom building. God has faith in us to be creators of love, of peace, of kinship. That's pretty bold. Pretty daring, considering some of the characters some of us are. But maybe that's just what the kingdom needs for its fruition. For each of our unique selves to be of one mind with God, to live in rhythm with God's desire for love and peace. So be bold this year. Be bold in who you are. Be bold with God and live more deeply into your faith, so that we might see the kingdom being built in and around us. Let us pray. gracious and loving God, you invite us. You invite us through Jesus out onto the road. You invite us into the work of the kingdom. And sometimes that's scary, and it's hard, and it pulls us away from what is comfortable and familiar. But you invite us as we are, to bring who we are into that work. Because it's when we share of ourselves, our most authentic selves, that we actually begin to build relationships, kinships with one another. That we begin to see one another with love and to desire peace around us. So call us, O God. Call us out onto the road more deeply and boldly, living into our faith, being co-creators with you, so that the kingdom that Jesus spoke of would be here, right now, in our midst. Amen. Bad roads. I'm glad to have you this morning. Couple quick things that I would mention. Next week, I think you're all going to show up wearing red. I don't actually own a Chiefs shirt. I feel like I have to buy one just for worship next week, or you might, like, throw tomatoes at me or something. A Cubs shirt inside out. We didn't get this in the bulletin, but we thought we would say that since it is Super Bowl Sunday, and it's also the first Sunday of the month, which is when we often like to support our soul pantry, why don't you bring soup, S-O-U-P, in a can. You don't have to cook it. Bring it in a can to contribute to the soul pantry. Got it? We'll put it on Facebook and other things to remind you, updates. And of course, we're still collecting for harvesters as well. Also in your bulletin, there's a note about a preschool training that is coming up, and I want to draw your attention to that because you might go, well, I'm not in preschool, and I'm not one of the preschool volunteers. But this note is for everyone. We have been, Kathleen and her team have done a wonderful job this year with our new preschool class, and we have an opportunity to go to a training that is based off of the curriculum that we use, and they will become official storytellers in this curriculum. But there is a small cost, and we are actually hosting, partially hosting, we're providing the food to keep the cost low. So if you want to help support that, this is an unplanned budget thing, and so there's some details in your bulletin about how you could throw in some dollars to help with it, how you could maybe send some food, or you could help clean up, something like that. So I'll be there. I'm not being one of the official trainers, but my children are in the class, so I thought, well, I'm going to go and bring food and help, and if you can lend a hand and support that, we would appreciate it. So read that note in your bulletin. Downstairs, it's time for the potluck, and we will have a community meeting. We're 6 months into our fiscal year, so we're going to give you some updates. If you are visiting with us and that seems intimidating, I understand. So we welcome you to come and eat with us, and we will not look at you silly when you decide to leave when the community meeting starts up. If you are also welcome to stay for the community meeting. They're always open. But we'd love for everyone to come and join us. Members, visitors, everyone, come down and eat, fellowship with us around the table. Let's stand for our benediction. As you go out today, remember that God calls you. God calls you to join. To join with God and with Jesus, with the Spirit, and with so many other disciples throughout time who have been kingdom co-creators. Step out and be bold. Be instruments of peace and love. Build relationships based on that peace and that love. And even though the world may try to oppose us, and build a kingdom rather than a kingdom, may we continue to work, knowing that God is on our side. Go and be blessed. Amen.